Amen. Amen. Well, good evening. It is good to be here with everyone. Thank you all for coming. If you haven't been to one of these before, I really enjoy these nights. They're just a special time where we don't have to rush anywhere, right? Oftentimes on a Sunday morning, I know a lot of you are late, and so you're rushing in and you're trying to get there because worship's already started, or someone is hosting, and then afterwards it always seems like there's somewhere to go. And so it's such a good time simply to sit down, eat, be together, enjoy our time. And so I always love these nights. So thank you for coming, for being part of fellowship, and just the joy that it is to be part of church. So our goal for tonight is really to talk about, to hear a little bit about what God is doing in our church, and is spend some time in prayer for what God's doing. Hopefully all of you are aware, we talked about this last time, but we are looking at taking steps into being an autonomous church, looking at September. And so the last connection night, which is back in November, we talked about this, talked about some of the plans we've got. And so really, I want to give you some a little bit of updates in terms of just, hey, practically, what is this looking like? But really, my goal is I want us to praise God. Because as much as God calls us to take these big steps of faith, there's always questions along the way that says, well, is God actually going to provide? As we step out, is God going to meet us and actually provide for the needs that we have in this? And honestly, if you remember nothing else from what we talk about, please remember this. God provides, right? God calls us to take these big steps of faith, and God also meets us in them, all right? And really, that's what I want to share about that. Yes, there are still things in the future, still upcoming, and yet we can still see just God's incredible hand of faithfulness as we're walking down this road. And so I'm really encouraged. I hope tonight is an encouragement to all of you, and just a joy to be able to be part of what God is doing. So as we start off here, I want to give you a little bit of just reminders in terms of lay of the land, what we talked about. So we're looking at September this transition point. September is not, a magical date. It's just kind of the day where September is kind of the start of a new year. It's a new school year, but often most things are kind of kicking off, beginning again, and it gives us a good target to look at. And right now, we're very much on track for that date. We'll talk more about what that looks like, but we had talked about a transition plan of sort of in the early year, January to March, of kind of trying to get all of our background stuff worked out, as well as starting to look at staffing, right? This was the point in time where we were going to start to look towards staffing. And by God's grace, we actually have all of our staff positions filled and ready to go. So praise God. I mean, he's already been moving in incredible ways just with that. And so I do at this point now, we got to talk about the bad news first, all right? Bad news, then good news, okay? So here's the bad news is that some people are stepping away, all right? So Lois, many of you know, Lois is going to be stepping not really away, but continuing her role in Chilliwack. For those of you who know, Lois has always been serving kind of double duty here. She does some promontory worship, and then actually, I think usually it's about double she does with youth in Chilliwack. And so she's going to be moving to youth in Chilliwack, and probably, I think, some worship in Chilliwack as well. And so she's moving into that role. And so that left us with, okay, well, who's going to step in? And so I'm really pleased to say, actually, Jordan. Jordan is going to be stepping into that role. Jordan has actually approached me. He came and said, hey, this is something God's put on my heart for a while, and I'd love to talk about what that looks like. And so really excited to have Jordan stepping into that worship director role. The other bad news that we have to talk about, it's not really bad news, all right? Patricia's pregnant, okay? it's not bad news, but it does mean she is going to be taking a step back, right? In all the best ways. And so that also left us with another staffing question, which was, okay, who's going to deal with kids? Who's going to look after that role? And so I'm really excited to say, actually, Esther is stepping into that role. She's going to be taking up leadership in that. And so really excited to see that. And so what I want to do tonight is I want you to actually hear from them and hear a little bit about what God's been doing in their life and what this calling is towards ministry. And so, Jordan, I know you love speaking in front of crowds. And so I'm going to invite you to come on up and just share a little bit about what God has been doing in your life. All right, Jordan.
Thanks. Boy. I think it'd be easier to talk than to sing and play an instrument. Because I've talked way more.
I'm Jordan. If you don't know me. Just going to spend a few minutes talking about what has drawn me to lead worship and what keeps me here. Wasn't going to try and make it not too much testimony, but as the two things intertwine, it's pretty hard to tease them apart. Just wanted to start by saying, just answering the question, just why do we worship at all? Because that's kind of the start of everything. Because you can't get one without the other, can you? The short answer is Jesus. That's a little bit obvious maybe, but and a little simplistic, but I think that for any of us to do anything that isn't just like laser focused on ourselves in our lives, it's just because Jesus brought us there. He called us to do it in some way or other. And because God made you and I exactly the way that we are through all of those parts of life, that's how we end up doing what we're doing. And when we're in his care and in his will, those things are helpful and useful for the kingdom. So that's kind of the easy answer. But a little bit of backstory about me is that even as a kid, I was pretty obsessed with the idea of like how things work and understanding just how the world works. And I remember hearing about the stories of Solomon as a kid. I went to Christian school and that explains a lot. They don't do a lot of that on Sunday mornings talking about Solomon asking for wisdom. But I heard that and it connected with me. I had this desire to be someone of understanding. Probably just because I wanted to feel smarter than people and, you know, because that's what kids and grown-ups do. You know, just being afraid of looking stupid or silly or whatever it was. But I did pray pretty genuinely, like, God, give me wisdom. And then aside from that, my family was always involved in worship ministry ever since I was a kid. Like, I have actual photographs. I don't know if you heard about these. Actual photographs of my dad, like, leading worship at the church before I was born kind of thing. And with huge curly hair. It's wild. Giant beard. Those were the days. So I have three older brothers. And every single one of us ended up playing guitar. There was always music in the house. And so that's always been a part of my life, too. I went to a Christian school, as I said. So I always found that like comprehension of Bible stuff was pretty easy for me. It soaked in. I remembered verses. I remembered, you know, all of the ideas, the theology of it. But that's only kind of one part of the way that God fit me into this. And the other part was that I didn't really realize that I also had an attention deficit part of my body that is the other piece that I think probably, it made scholastic pursuits pretty difficult. And so even though I felt like I understood a lot, I did not do well in school. And that part was difficult for me. And I think back now on that, I spent a lot of years trying to fight against that and realizing now that like, man, who knows how insufferable I would be if I had the comprehension and the scholastic ability and what kind of, seriously though, I think about it a lot and think what harm someone like me could have done to ministry or, to the gospel, just around the people that I met. Like if I was rewarded by my own feelings of success in understanding and wisdom and comprehension, I think back on that now, and I think I have to be thankful for that. Because I do think about that a lot, and I'm thankful to God every time that I do, because it started to put me right where I was supposed to be. Because I remember being in high school and that, and genuinely thinking like perfection was something you could actually achieve through practice. Like that was a goal. That was the bar of real actual people, was like perfection was possible. And I think that made me really cold and not very merciful and loving towards friends who would make mistakes. And then on the other side of that, coming out of high school and so much more just undone by the realization that it turns out you can't just do it. And under that weight, it's kind of when I had my reckoning with God, which was just this moment of realizing like, well, if I can't actually live the way that he says, and I don't know, I'm terrified at the idea of saying that I doubt that he exists. So I'm going to sit there and for 2 weeks, I'm going to do a trial run of actually digging back into my Bible and praying every day and think like, well, God, you have 2 weeks. And I think it was about 3 days before, you know, going back to the, you know, intelligence ego thing. I started in Romans, as one does. And I think it was, what is it, chapter 6 or so, where he starts talking about the things that I want to do, I do not do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And I'm like, boy, this feels a little pointed on the nose. And I think that if I just left it right there, if he left it right there, that would have been something, but I don't think it would have been enough. Because then I wouldn't have gotten to chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk now, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So all glory, all praise, all power, all dominion, all thankfulness to the God who allow one so unworthy to sit at his table. So like, why do I worship? Like, how do you not? You know, at Jesus' death, the barrier between us and the most intimate presence of God was torn. So how could I keep from worshiping? If we are silent and even the rocks cry out, then how much more shameful is that? So the second part, why lead in worship? And to put it simply, I'm drawn to lead worship because of everything that came before. He gave me the musical influence. He gave me the exposure to scripture in church and a deep belief that eventually, hard as it may have been, I started to actually understand in time. On top of that, I think that when people, the people of God come together, they're singing the same words with the same heart, and they pour out praise to the living and merciful, deserving God. We do his wish that I think of from Deuteronomy 5, where Moses has come down the mountain. He's given them the Ten Commandments. And finally, after many fits and starts, they say, okay, we understand that this is what we're going to do. Like, go find out whatever God has to say to Moses and bring it back to us, because we're too afraid to come near, because this God is a consuming fire. And God responds to them that, responds to Moses that, you know, oh, that my people had a heart like this for me always. That line just cuts me, because it's a father just dying for that, ironically, no pun intended, dying for that intimacy that should be ours and also gives us joy. And I think that like when we sing together in worship, that's this moment where, boy, I love that we come every week, we hear teaching, we hear preaching, and we all get to be fed and encouraged and rebuked and reproved, and we grow. But when we sing together, we're united in thought and speech all at once. I think that's just a really special thing to be a part of. And yeah, that's something that I always come back to. So he gave me just enough musical ability and just barely enough confidence to start trying around 20 years ago, to start putting to death the desire for personal acclaim, but also being willing to try and serve. It's a dangerous place. People idolize musicians in some ways. And so the tendency for some to, it's horrifying to think about, really, about stealing the praise of God in the midst of supposing to lead people into that praise is something that terrifies me. And I think in a healthy way, boy, my throat has never been drier in my whole life. On top of that, leading worship is, in our context, is both more and less important than I once imagined. It's little in the sense of how little it has to do with me or any musician and any ability that any of us possesses. It's been my experience that basically any week that I felt the most worn out, terrible, like I couldn't keep a song in a bucket, or a tune in a bucket rather, you know, those weeks are the ones when people actually reach out afterwards. They're like, wow, God was working so strongly in that time of worship. Thank you so much, Emmy. You the best. Like streams of living water. Fantastic. And that's so freeing because... whereas the nerves and things that people get from being in front of others is can set you off and can make things difficult, just locking on to the idea that God is the one that causes change, the Spirit is the one that moves hearts and draws people into His presence, man, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He's doing the work. And so I find that so freeing. But it is also more than I once imagined in that the worship leader, like in the Old Testament, the sons of Asaph, like standing in the courts of God and ushering people into times of worship, it's a holy guard you're standing to protect the holiness of God and try and draw people into that to... like pull back a curtain that was torn. That to me is like such a great honor to be a part of because I'm keenly aware of how unworthy I am. And that's really like the huge motivation for why I want to lead is because I'm aware that that He made me this way and because it's good to be someone who is just confident enough in the blessings of Christ to stand and is honored to be a small part of holding open that curtain so the people of God can see Him rightly. And on top of all of that, He gives joy in the doing. So that's the why. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. No, that's okay. You keep your water. No, it's good. Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate your heart, your humility to approach it, but just the willingness to be used by God for such an incredible task. Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Esther, let me invite you to come on up. Esther is going to be taking over kids and wanted to hear a little bit of your own heart in terms of stepping into this role.
Okay. So I wrote this like three times because to share a little bit of the why means that I have to be really vulnerable in my own story. So I've been going here since 2020. Sorry. Yeah, your throat gets really dry. And more water, Emmy. No. Thank you. So as many of you know, I come here with my kiddos and I'm alone. And there's a reason for that. I was born and raised in a very false church. Let's just call it what it is. And 11 years ago, I made a really brave choice to leave it with my two kids. And I left alone and I didn't have my husband's support. Thank you. You can just put it there. Thanks. And so I left my family, my friends, community that I had known for 24 years because I knew it was wrong and it was false. And that's another testimony. That's the rated PG-13. So I'll just keep it simple and on point. You know, I spent a lot of years proving that the religion I was in was wrong, using the Bible, and I proved it right. It was very easy to say, you know what, you read your Bible with no blinders on, with no filters, and you just read it as God's word. And so I spent a lot of time proving it was wrong by using the Bible. But then my heart was stone cold. You know, I was angry at religion, I was angry at God, and I had a very bitter heart. I didn't want to go to church, but I also knew that my kids needed to go to church for the mere fact that I did not want my in-laws' church and dad's church, as we called it, to taint their view on God. So I would go to church and I hated going, but I went to a few different churches here locally and I forced myself to go for the sake of my children. So when COVID hit, it really broke me in a way that I never had. And I finally was like, I need to stop focusing on the past and I need to focus on why is the Bible right? Why do we follow the Bible? What does this mean to me? So instead of reading the Bible to prove religion wrong, I started reading it to prove why God was real in my own heart. And one thing that I really struggled with was committing to a church and trusting a church. And so for me, I always had a back door open and I would leave. I never made friends. I just wanted to keep that part of my heart safe. And like, you know, church hurt is a really real thing, you know, and when you leave and to start over without being taught how to build connections and how to build community, it's quite scary, especially when you have children and you're responsible for them. Fortunately, my husband hasn't gone to church in a couple years now and has not, I thought it sounded bad, hasn't gone to the old church for a few years, but he's very just apathetic to religion, which is also dangerous. So, you know, there was a lot of times I had to pull up the socks spiritually for my children as well as emotionally. But, sorry, I'm going to get back to my points here. So, you know, God really broke me in 2020 where I had my first true experience of like trusting Jesus and recommitting my life to Christ in a way that I hadn't experienced ever. Even though you're born and raised in church, so-called, you know, to finally find the truth was just eye-opening. So, and it changed my heart. But one thing that was hard for me to do was commit and to trust. And so when John asked, you know, what calls my heart to ministry, I think for me, it's an outward step of committing. And this church has been my family and my church family. And even being at the school, I'll backtrack a little bit. Like when my daughter Cass went to kindergarten, I was building our life up from scratch. So I wanted community. So I poured into the school. And I think maybe I needed distraction from the pain and everything, but I poured into just volunteering here at the school, and lo and behold, I made friends, I made connections, I made community for me and my kiddos. And I knew there was a church here, but I never came until I met Jess, and then that all blends together. But it's also been amazing to see how, you know, through the pain, God was still there in spite of the religion. He was still there in spite of the hurt. and for me to build something really beautiful with the school here as far as being volunteering all the time and hosting events, it kind of has blended really nicely into the church as well. So when I heard that Patricia was going to be going on mat leave, I thought, God, how can I truly show you that I trust you and know that you have peace in your timing with everything? And I just thought, you know what? I think I want to help. I think I want to show that I am committed to this family and I love this church. And, you know, at first I started out with doing coffee and welcome desk and worship too, because singing is, I love to do it, and it's easier to sing than talk. But I also think, like, just serving helped. It wasn't just serving to fill in a space, but it was serving to heal. And serving was in order for me to build community for my children, stability for myself, to make friends that, you know, uplift me and encourage me when sometimes I feel really alone. But also, like, since I've been the spiritual guidance for my own children, like, even taking over Kidsmen, it's like the children are so precious. And with what I've been through in my life, like, they're very impressionable. So when you are born and raised in something that is wrong, you literally need to detox your brain from it and theology, and you gotta just take a step back. And I thought, you know what, we need to plant the gospel of Christ in these kids at a young age, so no matter what they hear as they grow older, they know what the truth is in their hearts. And like I say to my own kids, like, if you have that walk with Christ and no one else, but we need people in their lives to help them. And so I just feel like, you know what, even if it's for a short time, and Patricia will be back, right? Where are you? Yeah, you'll be back. There you are. If it's for a short moment, I know that God is opening doors into other areas. And I've really felt, even in the last few years, like, I worked at Garden Gate Preschool, and that closed down. And then I just felt God telling me to wait, just be peace, be at peace with what's happening in your life and just wait. Something's coming. And like I said to John, like, you know, I just felt God telling me to wait, not be in a hurry to make decisions. And then this came up and I thought, you know what, this is what I want to give back to God for what he's done for me in my life, is to serve the church. And it's funny that you say worship is also serving. It's also making coffee. It's making chili. It's, you know, making sure your kids hear the truth about God's word, right? So there's, yeah, it's just, so for me, I feel like God is just calling me to show that it's an outward confession that I trust. Oh, is that me? Nope. Same ringtone. Like that God, that I trust God. I trust him with our church and I trust him with our community. And if I can be a small part of that for a year, then I'm happy to do it. And, you know, I've had a really good relationship with the school here, and I feel like I've been a liaison between the school and the church, and I would love to reach even more families within the church, but also within our own community as well. But yes, that's about it. I think I'm like sweating.
That's good. Amen. I am always so incredibly thankful for the way that God knits together a church, because both of these, Jordan and Esther, would love to sing and not talk, and I feel exactly the opposite, all right? There is no one who wants me to come up and sing, and I'm just so grateful for the way that God knits us all together and fills in these incredible things. I'm so excited just to see who God has already begun to bring together here. I said before, actually, all of our staff positions have been filled. The last one that we had talked about was an admin position. And so actually, Jessica Carsemaker has agreed to step into that role. Very exciting. Jordan and Esther are starting as of now. Jessica is going to be starting probably into June, as her role is a little bit more as we step onto our own. But we're We're so excited to see what God has done, and just the way that he has already provided for us is just incredible. So I want to let you know just about a few other things that are going on. Last time we talked about just some of the needed things that are going to happen as we take this step, and two of them were in terms of ministry. So we've already seen women's ministry has started. They've already run through a couple of different studies now. I'm losing track from last fall. Stepping into that. Actually, they are starting a brand new study tomorrow. So tomorrow evening here, 6:45, come women and join in. Even Jessica tells me, even if you can't join every single study, just come, be part of it, get to know some of the other women and just invest into this time together. I believe they're studying the I Am statements of Jesus and spending some time going through that. So tomorrow, 6:45, it starts here. I encourage you, be part of that, invest into it. It's an amazing thing what God is doing here. And so women's ministry has already started this past fall, but there is actually another ministry that we had talked about at our last gathering that we said was pretty vital for us as a church that has been missing, and that is youth. Right? So youth ministry up until now has been very much geared at, okay, join down with Chilliwack campus. And hear me again, I'll say it. We love what they're doing there. I mean, the youth ministry is phenomenal. We're so grateful for them. But what we need to hear is there has to be a place in our church for our youth. That must be the case. We cannot say, oh, great, you've made it through kids ministry. Great, go down the hill. We don't have a place for you. That is not only missing what God calls us to do, it is abdicating our responsibility. And so we are so excited to actually see youth getting started here in Promontory. And so actually it starts next week. All right, next Sunday, we are starting off youth, and we're really, really excited about that. So let me just let you know, some of you are parents of youth-aged kids, and so we are starting here with junior high. Junior high is grades 6 to 8. Yes, Quinn, thank you, good. All right, grade 6 to 8 is gonna be gathering. Right now, what it means is they're gonna gather Sunday morning. So when we dismiss kids, we're gonna dismiss the youth as well. They're going to function probably on an every other week kind of basis, so the kids aren't out every single week. They're not missing church altogether. But we want to create a place where youth can actually belong, actually connect with one another, and begin to grow and connect more with their faith. And so they're going to spend some time, you know, just having fun, getting to know one another, but also diving into a little bit of what God is calling us to do. And so we want to see this grow and flourish. We're going to start here Sunday mornings during service. Yeah, it's all good. She's going to be youth one day, okay? We need to make sure we are taking care of her. All right? Yes. All right. We have many more who are coming. So Sunday mornings, we're going to gather our youth. They're going to gather together and go out when the kids go out. Every other week, senior high, we are looking at starting in a little bit later down the road, but they would meet after church on Sunday, probably in someone's house. We have lots of people who live nearby. Just walk over to someone's house and same thing. Have a place where you can actually connect with other youth, actually begin to grow and engage in your faith. All right. So we're so excited to see that. Quinn Goosen is going to be taking some of our leadership for that. Really excited. And so please, please be praying for our youth in our church, all right? As well, we have a number of youth leaders. I won't point them all out here right now, but we are still looking for probably one or two more female youth leaders, all right? So if that's you, if you know someone who'd be interested in that, please come talk with me or come talk with Quinn. We'd love to get you involved, get you connected, because actually there is a pretty big, not only opportunity, but also need. I said earlier that as God calls us to take these steps of faith, he also begins to provide. What some of you might not know, there have been a number of youth-aged kids who have just come to our church. I mean, without parents, without anyone else, just of their own volition, they've walked in the doors because they want to be part of a church. This is where, you know, God calls you to something and then he just begins to provide for it, okay? And so, I mean, if we can't take the obvious hint that God is giving us of like providing kids who say, we want to go to church, even if our parents aren't coming, we're going to walk here ourselves. We need this, all right? And so I'm so excited to see this begin. We'll talk about it more next Sunday as well, give some more instructions, but please be in prayer for the youth in our church. I know I'm kind of joking and saying, you know, she's going to be there, but it's true. This Sunday, we had the most amount of kids in our grade school. I think we had like 26 kids just in grade school. They're all growing up, okay? And it's just the reality. So we actually need to be able to serve and say, hey, there is a place for our youth in our church. They're not just showing up with their parents. They're showing up here to church where they belong, all right? So please be in prayer. So excited to see some of these things get started. I'm going to rattle through a few of these just because I do want us to have time to pray at the end here. But let me give you just a few. These are a bit more business type updates, but we actually have a name. Some of you already know the name. All right. If you were at the AGM, you heard Pastor Matt just kind of blurt it out. So the name that we're looking at or that we have now is Promontory Community Church. Not a surprise to many of you. And I just want to give a little bit of an explanation. First of all, we weren't, you know, trying to hide that name. Really, it just wasn't official yet. We were waiting for paperwork and things to actually get through. They are now through. So all the paperwork is there. We can confidently say, yeah, we're looking and we're excited to plant Promontory Community Church this September. A couple reasons for the name. One, really practical and not that significant, but it's what a lot of people call us. Okay, I actually get emails, Dear Promontory Community Church. And even though my email says Central Community, they still seem to call us that. So there's just a really practical thing. It's what most people have been calling us. But the second and more significant, all right, is that that defines the two realities of who we are. Right? The church is something that has both a spiritual reality and a physical reality. To call ourselves a church is not insignificant, right? To say that we are a church means we are actually holding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming it, living it, holding one another accountable in it. There is a spiritual reality to our gathering. Church is not a meaningless title, all right? But the church is also has a physical reality. We meet, we gather in a particular place here in Promontory, right? This is where we gather, and that's not an accident, right? That's not a meaningless point of trivia. Rather, it means actually we are called to this community, not just this community, but this is ground zero for the impact that God calls us to make, all right? If I can use a weird analogy, but you know, when there is a disease outbreak, ground zero is always where the disease is the worst, right? That's where everyone has been infected and it's the worst. It's a bad analogy, okay? Just go with me, okay? That's what I want this place to be. This is ground zero. This is the place where the kingdom of God is seen the clearest, all right? This is not all God has called us to do, but here is the place where he has planted us. It's not insignificant. It's not accidental. God's called us here, so let us make the gospel known here, right? We are called to spread the gospel far beyond just the small boundaries of Promontory, but here God has called us to make this impact. So why did we call it Promontory Community Church? Because we are the church of God that meets here. That's why. And so I'm really excited about what God is doing and even just the calling that he's placed on us as a church. All right, so you can tell people, yes, we're going to be called Promontory Community Church. In fact, we even have a website that you can start and go find. So promontorychurch.ca, you can actually go on to it. I'm told you should, okay? I don't know enough about tech and websites and Google, but the more of you that actually go to it and it Google goes, oh, that's a real webpage, the better it is for us. Is that a fair explanation?
Okay, don't, I know there's more, Go to it, all right? You can go Promontory Community Church. It's just a very basic page right now, and you can actually sign up and get newsletters and things like that. We're still trying to figure out what we're all going to do with that, but please, go there. It actually genuinely helps us. All right, in terms of our timeline, like I said earlier, we are genuinely on track for a lot of things. We had talked about January to March as being a lot of our background work. This is our bylaws, constitution, society status, charitable giving status, all that fun stuff. Those are all done. We've submitted all of them. The only thing that is pending at this point is charitable giving status, okay? That's the CRA. They are... slow. Yeah. You're right. They are slow. All right. And so what this means for us, okay, little update. What this means for us is most likely by September, we may or may not have charitable giving status. Okay. That one, it's just, there's a huge margin of when exactly it might come in. So everything's submitted. It's all in process, but it can sit there for quite some time. And so what this practically means for all of you is that for this year, we are going to keep our budget with Central to the end of 2025. Okay. Now that does two things for us. Number one, really practically, it gives us buffer. So if the CRA takes longer, we have that buffer room. It won't actually affect our launch in September. We'll still continue to work with that. Number two, actually, I'm going to argue this is a blessing for Central. Okay. If we are to say to Central, to a budget that is already combined, we need you to disentangle all of this by September, only for that budget to end 4 months later, we're actually causing a whole bunch of work, right? A distraction to the point of probably damage, to be honest. It would be such a thing to untangle just for a couple months. It really doesn't make that big of a difference. So it gives us a buffer. It actually allows things to end much smoother, much easier. And then come 2026, we're on our own. Everyone's budget can work after that. So all I say that too is it means for all of 2025, when you do your taxes next year, it'll all be from Central. You don't need to worry about getting two things. But really, that is kind of the only practical thing that we're looking at this point. All right. So that is very encouraging in terms of just a lot of these things are being worked out. I'm going to move on so we have some time to pray. Some things I would ask you to pray for. All right. One of the things that we talked about is we would love to have a secondary location. That is some sort of storefront, some sort of location where we can have maybe an office, but also some ministry space to actually be able to engage in our community throughout the week. That is still something we are looking for. All right. We have talked to a number of people up here in Promontory wondering about some of the lease space. You might see it. We've asked about it. And for whatever reason, at this point, it's not an open door for us. Now, I say that, and I say, actually, God has been faithful in his provision. In his timing, he has not gone wrong. And so hear me, commit this to prayer. Spend the time in prayer. Lord, you open doors. You actually make a way for us. And so we're going to step forward in faith and say, all right, Lord, in your timing, you are going to provide what is best. So please be praying for that. Another thing, please be praying just for our ongoing relationship with the school board. All right. That's always something I'm going to ask for prayer. We are here. We are a rental. And that always puts us in a position where actually we need to trust God, not trust the school board, trust God. That he would provide. And actually, that's not a bad thing, to be in a situation where we are continually reminded that we are trusting God for everything, all right? Things have gone well. Don't get me wrong. Things have been going well, but it's always something I just want to ask you to keep in mind, all right? A couple of volunteer opportunities that are coming up, especially as we take these. There are all manner of graphic design and sort of video editing. If you have or know someone who has these kinds of skills, please come talk with me, all right? We're starting to put together things like, you know, graphics and logos and all this kind of fun stuff. And so that's not my area of expertise, but by God's grace, he's gifted many of you. And so please come talk with me. We'll also be looking to put together account team, things like this. And so again, some of you have volunteered, but do come talk with me if you're interested in that, as well as our kids men. As we talk about kids, we have lots. right? Praise God. And so we always need people to step into some of those positions where, especially as youth are coming, some people are saying, all right, I'm gonna serve in youth, all right? And so we have opportunities in kids to be able to serve in new ways. So please come talk with me or come talk with Esther and volunteer there. We also, and I'm just gonna put this out on the radar way down the road, but we got a sports camp coming up. Really excited about that. So that's gonna be the week of July 7th. And we're always looking for volunteers there, coaches, assistants, helping with registration, all that fun stuff. It's a great week where we get to be very public in our evangelism, to talk about God in the open air, in the middle of a park, with lots of people around. What an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. So really excited about that. All right. Well, with all that being said, I want us to spend some time in prayer. Okay, so in just a moment, I'm going to get you just turn to the people around you and just spend some time in prayer over our church, right? God has been leading and guiding, providing so much for us. Let us respond in thankfulness to God, all right? But would you pray? Would you pray that God would continue to lead, guide, and open doors where he would want them? Pray that God would give us the opportunities to reach out into our community to have an impact for the gospel. Pray for our own courage and boldness, right? Especially as Easter comes, let's be bold, right? Pray that we would trust in Jesus more and more, all right? So would you spend some time, just turn to the people around you. Let's pray for our church, all right? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way that you lead your church. Father, I pray, would you continue to knit us together in the unity of the Holy Spirit? Father, would you continue to allow us to follow after you? Father, be our guide, be our shepherd, go before us and help us in this way. Father, we long to follow after you. And so, Father, I just pray, would you open the doors for us that we might glorify your name, that your gospel would be heard clearly, widely. Lord, use us as your servants to see your fame, your glory, your kingdom grow here on this earth. Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you everyone for being here, for joining with us. Shane, did you just fall? No. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us here. I'll let you know now, we will have another connection night at the end of May. May 25th is what we're going to be looking at, just continuing this conversation. And so if you ever have questions about what this is looking like, please come talk with me. You have questions, you've got comments, you've got things that are just on your heart. Please come talk with me. Genuinely, it's an open door. Love to hear from you. And we're so excited about what God is doing here. And so thank you. Thank you so much for coming. If you are able to help, just put away a few chairs or even a couple tables. We'd love your help just tearing this place down. But thank you so much. God bless, and we'll see you guys on Sunday.